our studies in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, where we've reached verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. I think we could well read these verses before we go any further. Jesus said, after the Beatitudes, "You are the salt of the earth." You can almost imagine the disciples saying, "Who? Me?" I think it's rather disturbing that we can read a verse like this and not be just a little bit embarrassed. You are. Not you are going to be, or maybe someday when you've grown up spiritually. He said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how is its saltness to be restored? It is no longer good for anything. That's pretty devastating. Except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. Jesus is saying, the world would be in total darkness if it wasn't for you. And again, we should be embarrassed and disturbed. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now that's not a big passage, so let's try to consider it carefully. In the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 5, from verses 1 to 12, what Jesus has been saying, and we've studied these verses in great detail, is that everything is concerned with what we are and with our attitude to the whole of life, including our attitude to and our reaction to persecutions and battles and denials. It's all about being. It's not about doing. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so on it goes. We are blessed by being right. And being right and making it our business to be right with God, God will see to it that we are blessed. I suppose that means that if we are not being blessed, maybe there's something wrong with us. And more importantly, maybe there's something wrong with our attitudes. Because God says, blessed, 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 blessed. No matter the circumstances, no matter the experiences, no matter the difficulties. If you're like this in relation to me, says God, you will be blessed. And so we come to verse 13. Or the verse 13, 14, 15, and 16. And what we have here is an affirmation of fact. It is not an exhortation. Jesus doesn't know. Now you've got to be the salt of the earth. He doesn't know. You've got to try and be the right kind of salty, gracious, balanced, mature kind of Christian. That's not what he says. And when you think, I hope I'm not being discourteous to them, when you think of the bunch of disciples he had round about him when he said that, it's all the more astonishing. You, said Jesus. Notice the beginning of the chapter. Seeing the crowds, he went up in the mountains, and when he had sat down, his disciples came to him. And Jesus said, "Now, I've got something to say to you. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. You, with all your faults and all your limitations, you who have already made a lot of mistakes and will make more mistakes, you who have already blundered and you'll blunder many a time in the future, you, including you, Simon Peter, and it won't be all that long till you three times deny that you even know me, in spite of all your boasting. You, including Peter, who was to be the denier, including James and John, who were both proud, remember, places at the right hand and the left, proud and overconfident. Lord, we saw somebody casting out demons in your name and he doesn't follow with us and we forbade him. How dare they do marvelous things like that? They're not of our group. It was James and John. And Jesus said, you, again, I don't want to be discourteous. You lot, said Jesus, his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. You are laid hold upon by God. Remember in John's Gospel, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. You've come to me. The Father has drawn you. He has laid hold upon you. He has chosen you to be his own personal and particular possession. And because of that, you are the salt of the earth. Not one of these days you will be. Not one of these days you'll exercise a real influence where you work or where you stay. You are the salt of the earth. And that really means that Jesus is saying, without you, the world lacks salt. If you put it like this, if you didn't stay where you stay, that area would lack salt. And later on, that area would lack light. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, we apply this individually. We apply it to our family situation because we are families in Christ. And we apply this corporately to the church. You are the salt of the earth. I don't know if the significance in verse 14, you are the light of the world, why it is the earth in one verse and the world in another verse, I really don't quite know. And if any of you are clearer about that, then tell me afterwards. You are for the earth. I wonder if that's got something to do with simply the whole constituted order of creation. Remember Paul in Romans chapter 8, but the whole order of creation groaning and travailing, waiting for the sons of God. As if the physical order of creation was groaning and saying, oh, we'll never get out from under the curse of God until you Christians are right. My word. Makes you feel very important, doesn't it? It also makes you feel very responsible. But this word, the salt of the earth and the light of the world, I think part of it is to remind us of just how far-reaching is our influence. I believe shortly as we go to prayer, we'll influence Thailand. We'll influence various different parts of Africa. We'll influence our own land. I think we need to remember this when we're praying. We're reaching out to the whole wide world, but bring it back to the whole question of our own Christian lives. You are the salt of the earth. Speaking here about an all-pervasive influence. Now, I don't know that we've got time. Maybe we should take time to look them up. Two references. The first of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 17. You know the verse without looking it up. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. A new creature in Christ Jesus. And it is because we are in Christ Jesus that the word is, you are the salt of the earth. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Again, a very well-known verse. Galatians 2 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But take that phrase in the middle of the verse. Christ who lives in me. And it is because Christ lives in us that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Back to the Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth. And salt in a fallen, we are salt in a fallen world which is in the process of decaying and going rotten. And of course, in Jesus' day, the way to keep things from going rotten was salt. Now, if we are in the world to keep it from going rotten, you see how important the word is when it says, if the salt has lost its taste. If the salt has lost its significant flavor. Now there's a very sobering thought. Because we know it from our own lives. At times we know it when we come across certain people that we may not have met for a long time, and our previous association with them made us very aware that here was a man or a woman truly walking with God, truly in Christ. There was a savor about them. There was a grace about them. There was a ring of reality about them. And you were always pleased to see them. And having spent a little time with them when you went away, I'm feeling better. Then you meet them after a spell. And there's not that freshness. There's not that grace. And when you leave them, there is not a legacy of blessing, but rather a legacy of concern. Salt that has in measure lost its savor. You are the salt of the earth. This is what you are in Christ Jesus. And therefore, all we have to do really is to be true to ourselves. This is the essence of Christian witness and Christian influence. Be yourself. Because you are the salt of the earth. Be natural. I sometimes think, especially in the realm of witnessing, we all tend to expend far too much effort. It's being. And when we are being right with God, then wherever we go, we take Jesus with us. You are the salt of the earth. Be natural. Don't in any sense draw attention to yourself, because self is just an intrusion. And I suppose if we keep it in its kitchen setting, salt is most noticeable when it's not there. And when you take the first bite of your potato, if it's been properly cooked, you don't say to whoever cooked the meal, "Oh, you remember to put in the salt." But if you take the first bite, you say, "Did you remember the salt?" If I put on the potatoes, almost certainly it would be forgotten, but that's a different story. It's noticed when it's not there. I remember counselling a young Christian who I felt they were getting on fine, but oh, they're having all sorts of ups and downs and turmoil and travel and all the rest of it. And I pointed out, they said, you're the salt of the earth. I said, where's the salt supposed to be? In the soup. So, well, that's, if you're in a situation where it's all higgledy-piggledy and upside down and this, oh, you're in the right place. People sometimes say to me, "Oh, Mr. The folk I work with, and the one I'm beside, and the head of the department, and the big, oh, and, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, oh, that's just ideal." Because you are the salt. You are the very thing that is needed. I remember years ago speaking to Alec Aiken when he was in Rock Villa. And I only discovered the other day that David Young, at once from Kirkmuir Hill, at one time had been attached or a student assistant to Alec Aiken. And as soon as I mentioned Alec's name, David Young said, "Oh, what that man suffered." And I remember speaking to Alec Aiken, the minister, on one occasion, and oh, he was really down. And he said, "Oh, he said, after all these years, my, he was tired. He said, after all, I have so little to show." And I said, "Alec, try to think what the whole area of Rock Villa would have been like if you and your ministry hadn't been there these past 8 years." And he said, I hadn't thought of it like that. I believe that man's costly, costly ministry kept back the rot, spiritually speaking, in Postle Park for 8 solid years. You are the salt of the earth. And of course, it's not without significance that Jesus uses the word salt. The influence is far greater than the measured size. You don't put great shuffleful of salt into the tatties. But you know, some Christians try to be too salty. They're forever on about God. Therefore, you can't have an ordinary conversation with them without them quoting at least 2 feet, if not several yards, of Scripture. Now, that's not being salt. Too much salt leaves you with a bitter taste, and all you want to do is to spit it out. And this is the marvelous thing about Jesus. Oh, he could be cutting. Oh, be careful if you want to be cutting, because you have to be as pure as Jesus if you want to say, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." If you're totally sure of your saintliness, then use that kind of language, but otherwise just carcanny. You are the salt of the earth. Take it in both its negative and positive aspects. Salt preventing corruption. The whole idea of the Christian in society operating like an antiseptic, counteracting the operation of poison in society, preventing the process of decay. Written down here in my notes, it's like being a spiritual and moral air wick. There are situations in which people may say all sorts of things and use all sorts of language when you're not there. But when you're there, I get it as well sometimes. Out comes something, maybe in a lift going up a few floors in Garden Avil or something like that, and somebody will say something, sorry, Padre. You see, it's natural, and out it comes. And instantly they are aware if the clerical collar is on, or sometimes even when it's not on. Sometimes you just need to turn and look at somebody. It's not you that makes them embarrassed, it's the Spirit of God. Antiseptic. Think of what the situation would be if all Christians were taken away. Wow. I see I've got a reference here. I would quote it, but I can't remember it. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Oh yes, at verse 7. It's a verse that I don't really understand, although I've preached several sermons on it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. The old version has it, the mystery of iniquity. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. Now, nobody really knows what that verse means, except that it speaks of there being present in the world somebody or something that is exercising a restraint upon wickedness. But if that restraint is taken away, the next verse is, then the lawless one will be revealed. Well, I know it goes on to speak of how Christ will deal with the lawless one. But this thought of restraint. And I would like to bring to your minds this thought that the Christian element in society is decreasing. Even on a simple level like this, when my ministry began here, granted that's a lot of years ago now, but coming to church then, first in the early days when we walked across the park from Lansdowne Crescent, and even later on when we managed a car and were coming through Partick, that's before the expressway was built. On a Sunday morning, you would see all sorts of people out and about going to church. Not only by car, but folk walking, folk taking public transport. But you know, it's quite disturbing nowadays when you're coming to church. You see so few people out and about. The Christian element in society is decreasing. And the effects of that are obvious. There is not really enough Christian impact in society just now to keep our radios clean, let alone our televisions and our newspapers and our paperbacks in the shops. I was in a shop in Byers Road the other day looking for a volume of C.S. Lewis, and they didn't have it in stock, and family were looking for something else, and I was just looking along the shelves. I picked up a paperback and just opened it. Didn't leave it open very long. The language was so lurid. And I stood back and I looked and just wondered how many of the books were like that. Now, there was a time, and this is not going all that far back, when you had to go to some of the really tatty back street shops in order to buy that kind of book. But not anymore. The salt in society has decreased tremendously, and we should be greatly, greatly exercised. Yes, I know that there's been a tremendous increase in biblical ministries in our land and a great increase in prayer meetings, and these are signs of hope. But is it enough to stop the rot? I do not know. I see I've noted here the verses from the end of 2 Chronicles is chapter 36, where it speaks of how God had sent his prophets again and again and again, and they would not listen until there was no remedy. The other reference I've got marked here, and I can't quote it, to the book of the prophet Amos. Daniel, just one verse. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, chapter 5, at verse 15. Or verse 14. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. And then these words. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Oh, says the prophet, pray your hearts out. It may be that the Lord will be gracious and put a stopper upon the rising flow of iniquity. But in that kind of situation, says Jesus, where you are the salt of the earth. And if that's the negative aspect, the positive aspect, the salt gives tang and taste and flavor. It brings out the best. It's amazing the influence that one Christian has in a group. Trying to think of an illustration, but I can't think of anything except a rather poorish one. At a very big wedding reception in a posh place, and of course there was a bar, and I, being one of the thirstiest folk around, I got myself a glass of orange juice. And somebody looked. I said, didn't know we could get that. Until in the end, the people behind the bar said, we've never served so many orange juices at a wedding reception. And I just smiled sweetly. All it needs is salt. Somebody to take the lead. Somebody to say, now, let's cut out that kind of language. Somebody to say, in the middle of somebody telling a story or a joke, I don't think you should go on with that story. We have a good idea of how it's going to develop, and I don't think that's suitable in the present company. And you'll find that a lot of people will agree with you. The positive aspect of the salt, to give tang and taste and flavor, bringing out the best. Think of the effect of Christians and Christian truth on personality and on society, giving value to everything. And this is an important thing nowadays. In our dealings with people, just the very way you treat people. Sometimes even if you go going somewhere and you see somebody standing around looking lost, and maybe they don't know where to go, maybe they don't know where they're supposed to go, and this and that. If you get a quiet corner and watch, you'll see all sorts of very busy people rushing past in that direction and that direction. But if you stop and say, "Excuse me, can I help you?" Oh, watch the response. Sometimes it's a smile, sometimes it's a sigh of relief, sometimes it's tears. You are the salt of the earth. The influence. Let your speech, is it Colossians 4 verse 6, let your speech be seasoned with salt. I've written down in my note, seasoned with salt, not pickled. Oh, again I remind you of our dear Lord Jesus. There was such a balance of grace and truth. And one Christian in a situation making all the difference whether they're aware of it or not. Time was stopped. But if the salt loses its savour, well, it can't stop being salt. Just as a Christian can't stop being a Christian. But a Christian can dry up. A Christian can go sour. A Christian can die out in terms of vitality and loses all its savour. It gives nothing and it stops being a barrier to evil. You'll not believe it, but I was all ready to deal with what Jesus says about the light of the world, but it's time we're praying. Oh, what a word this is. You folks, said Jesus, you are the salt of the earth. Oh, see to it that you don't lose your taste. Because if you do, you'll be no influence against evil, and you'll have nothing to give. Oh, be right, be right, be right. And always remember that Jesus said, and you need this if you're discouraged, "You have not chosen me. I chose you." And he doesn't go back on his choice. And he says, "Now, you are mine. Now be mine." And you are, and you will continue to be, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Amen, and may God bless to us his word.